Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. I say, is he all right? I say, is he all right? I'm about to close now. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. Is he all right? I said, is he all right? Have you tried it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Oh, yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, verses 20 through 23. And there's so much in this story. I'm not through with it. I started at inner city this morning. I want to try and get through a little more of it because it's still not enough time to deal with all the text, but I want to lift out some important points for you to ponder. So if you will, Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 20. Rita.
Luke chapter 15 and verse 20 reads, "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Verse 21. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son."
Right.
Verse 22. "But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." Verse 23. "And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry."
And be merry. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, saints, today I want to speak from the subject, one glad dad. One glad. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is speaking from the subject. One glad dad. And if your dad is glad up in heaven, come on, give God some praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not going to be belong before you long, because the time is short and the heat is hot. And I just want to give you some important points to ponder. This is no new story. However, it is an absolutely fascinating and intriguing story about the love of our Heavenly Father. Jesus is telling this story. And who knows better about the Father's love than the Son, Jesus Christ? And I think it's so important for us to grasp some of the nuggets that we can find in the text. It begins at the 11th verse of this 15th chapter of Luke, and it goes all the way down to the 32nd verse. 22 verses reveal and relate this wonderful story about Father, our God, who sits up above, looks down low, and loves his children. I want to share three characters in this story. The Father, the Son who has gone away, and the Son who stayed. Now, one of the things that I want to mention to you is the fact that when we look at the Father, because we call this the story of the prodigal son, and truly it could be named the prodigal father, because it's talking about the extravagance. It's talking about the overabundance. It's talking about the overkill, the extra, beyond, over the top. And this is talking about the love of the Father. But we focus on the extravagance of the Son's spending. Now, how many of you know the Son wouldn't be extravagant in his spending if the Father hadn't given him anything to spend? So I want you to see three things about the Father that's revealed in this text. There are so many others, but these are three that I've chosen to highlight. First of all, that the Father was righteous. Father was righteous. One of the things you'll note, that when the Son comes to him in the 12th verse, he asks the Father to give him his portion, the portion that the word says falleth to me. The word, again, portion, and then in the context of falleth to me, is outlined in Deuteronomy 21 and 17. And if you had two sons, or however many, the eldest son would get a double portion, and then the rest of it would be divided by how many other sons. But in this case, it was only two. So the eldest son would get two-thirds, and the youngest son would get one-third. And so the youngest son knew the law. Why? Because his father was a righteous man that taught them the word, the principles of God. In other words, he trained up a child in the way that he should go. And the word says when he gets older, he will not depart from it. Didn't mean he wouldn't stray away. Didn't mean he wouldn't step off the path. Didn't mean he wouldn't make some mistakes. But he said that he would not depart from it. What was it? The training. The training. No matter where you go, the training is instilled in you. Daddy may have been at home, but the principles he instilled in that young boy went with him everywhere he went. Not only was the father righteous, but the father was responsible. He was a responsible father. He took care of the business. He made sure he did things decently and in order. He provided for his sons everything that a good father should. And so he was a responsible father. All through the text, it reveals his responsible nature. And then thirdly, it's important to understand, more than all of those other things, he was relationship oriented. relationship oriented. And you're going to notice this all through the text, from the fact that he himself loved his sons, period. And no matter what they had done, they were his sons. No matter how far one had fallen, it was his son. No matter what he had done, it was his son. He was the kind of father that didn't turn his back on his son when the world showed his son that the world was not his friend. He was the kind of father that made it clear to his son that when he left home, if things don't work out for you out there, you can always come back home. He was the kind of father that didn't hold stuff over your head and said, when the sun fell, I told you so. He was the kind of father who said, you belong to me. You are my child. I don't care what the world say about you. You are my son. And so you'll see this throughout the text. So he was relationship oriented. Now let's look at the son that he gave his portion to. First of all, the Bible says, and not many days afterwards, he took all he had and went into a far country. Somebody say far country. Because I need you to know the reason, one, he took everything he had was because he didn't plan on coming back. And then secondly, he went into a far country because he knew what he planned to do. Now, let me say this to you, my brothers and sisters. Many of us don't plan to fall or fail. But many times when we don't do things the right way and recognize that though God allows us to make choices, he does not allow us to control the consequences. When you know better, James said you ought to do better. And yet how many of us know better and still don't do better? We can know we're doing things that are wrong, against the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, things that will hurt God. But because we want to satisfy our flesh, we'll do what pleases us for the moment. I love the scripture, Hebrews 11:25, that says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How many of us have chosen to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season only to regret the consequences? So first of all, he went to a far country. The second thing was, he was spending money like money was water. I mean, he threw party after party after party. He just enjoyed himself, and what he forgot was that money had an end to it. And one day it ran out. So secondly, he went to a far country, and he was spending his money fast and furiously. You see, one of the things I've heard, and I've shared this with you before, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And he was an example of this reality. And then thirdly, he fell. Somebody say fell. He fell in his own mind, in his own heart, in his own eyes. What did he fall from, preacher? In his own heart, mind, and eyes, he fell from grace in the eyes of his heavenly Father. So he fell from grace in the eyes of his heavenly Father, but in his own eyes, he also fell from grace in the eyes of his earthly Father. And then thirdly, he fell from grace concerning his own future. How do you know that? Because the Bible says no man would give to him. After all of the celebrating, after all of the friends, after all all of the drinks he bought, after all of the good times he showed, when he wanted and needed something, nobody was there to give back to him. For the word says, no man gave to him. And he joined himself to a citizen of that country. How do I know he failed? Because he got a job feeding hogs. Now, it wouldn't have been so bad if he just had a job feeding hogs. But he fell so low that he wound up eating the food that the hogs did eat. The swine here represents hogs. And he ate the corn and the cob like the hogs did. But he also ate a fruit called the carob fruit. It was a sweet fruit that was like a horn-shaped fruit. And it was some of the poorest of the poorest diet. In other words, in famine time, many folk, even those who were upper echelon, ate the carob because it was sweet and it was healthy to a certain extent. But it was the lowest grade food. And so they fed that to the hogs to fatten them up when they were getting ready to take them to the slaughter. And there he was in the hog's pen eating slop. Slop. The son of a righteous man, the son of a wealthy man, the son of a noble man, down in the hog's pen eating slop. Let me tell you about his elder brother at home. Never left home. Bible tells us, beginning at that 28th verse, he was angry. Why was he angry? Because his younger brother left home. He did something that the elder brother didn't have the guts to do. Yeah, you know, sometimes we get mad with folk because they've got the nerve. Now, they might be foolish, and they might be this, that, and the other, but we wanted to do it, but we didn't have the gumption to do it. So he was angry with the younger brother for leaving. But not only was he angry, but he was assumptive. Assumptive. Well, what do you mean he was assumptive, Pastor? He was assumptive because when he wouldn't go out or into the house because the servant, when he asked what was going on in the house, the music was playing, dancing was going on, celebration was in the air. He wondered what was happening. He said, your brother is back home. And instead of him being happy about it and rushing into the house, he got angry and stayed outside. And his father left the party and came outside and confronted him and asked him, what was the problem? And so here he is, I told you, assumptive. Why do you say that? Because he tells the father in his assumptive state that this boy, your son, not my brother, your son took up all your money and went out and spent it on harlots, harlots, prostitutes. Now, here's my question. Did his younger brother text him and say, hey, man, I'm having a wonderful time here in the harlot's house? Did he send messengers to tell him, I wish you were here having a wonderful time? What did he have get from his brother that suggested that he was in a harlot's house, spending up all his money? Because that's what he would have done had he had the nerve to take his money and go on out there. Isn't that funny how folk many times when they get mad call you what they are? Think you're doing what they would have done if they had nerve enough to do it? And so he was assumptive. But the other thing was, he was arrogant. arrogant. His father tells him, this is your brother who was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And we're celebrating him. And you won't join the party. He gets mad and tells his father, have I not obeyed you? Have I not kept your ordinances, your commandments? Have I not done everything you wanted me to do? And you did not even give me a kid, not a calf, a kid, which was a baby goat, to celebrate with me and my friends. Father told me, listen, son, you are with me always. Everything I have is yours. Well, the father was letting him know, whether I die or live, the balance of what I have belongs to you. What are you upset about? That's something. Some people just don't know how to show love. Love. And what's worse, when it's brothers and sisters, family members. It's a disgrace to our Heavenly Father when family members, brothers and sisters of the same blood, can't get along. So listen at this story now. I've gotten all of the three characters. I'm almost through. I want to share with you now. The father was glad several times in the story. One, when he saw his son coming home, excited. Saw him and ran to the end of the road to meet him. Threw himself on his shoulder and kissed him. The son didn't kiss the father. The son didn't hug the father. The father did that to the son. Why did the son not do it to the father? It's because the son didn't feel like a son. He had fallen so low, sunk so low in sin, that he didn't feel worthy to hug his father, kiss his father. But the father showed him that love, that incredible love, that in spite of him and his wretched state, he looked beyond his faults and saw his needs. Told his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. He had already practiced on his way, saying, I'm going to rise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me a hired servant. But he never got to say, make me a hired servant, because his father cut him off and started talking to the servant. He said, make me a hired servant. To those of you who don't know, a regular servant that served in the home was almost like family. They lived in the house. They served the house. They were like members of the family, extended. So they were servants. He didn't ask to be that kind of servant. He asked to be a hired servant. A hired servant was a day servant that worked day by day. They were paid at the end of each day. They could have, at the end of the day, been dismissed, and they'd have to come back the next day to see if they were needed to work again. It was a very unstable job. That's all he was asking for, so he could buy some decent bread. But his father didn't even hear that. He didn't even want to hear. All he heard was, I have sinned. I've fallen short. I've missed it. And that spelled humility. That said, God, the Father, I'm sorry. Daddy, I'm sorry. And I can't make up for all that I've done. I just want to be a hired servant. He tells the servant, bring the best robe. and put it on him. Put it on him. The best robe, the best robe. The best robes in that time were saved for praise, high praise. That would be festivals. That would be times of praise and glory to God. And the best robe or the best clothing or vestures was saved for the high praise to God. It was about to be a celebration. His son, who was dead and alive, is back home. High praise to God. Put a ring on his hand. The ring, the right hand, was the insignia, which said that it was like the power of attorney of the Father. With that ring on his hand, he had authority. And that with that ring, men would see and know he was the son of a man of nobleness. And whatever he said with that ring, just like Joseph did in Pharaoh's day, and with that ring he had, he was able to do business on behalf of Pharaoh. And so the ring represented authority. Shoes. Slaves didn't wear shoes. They were barefoot. They had no covering on their feet. Only sons wore shoes. And so he tells the servant, get some shoes for my son. Look at the son, ratted and tattered, worn, looking bad, smelling bad, stains on his clothes from the hog's pen, and all that life had dealt him. And yet, his father wanted him to have the very best. To restore him back to that place before he sinned. He was glad because he was throwing a celebration for a homecoming and not for a home going. Lord, I wish I had some praying people here today. I said he was glad. He was throwing a party for a homecoming and not a funeral service for a home going. He was one glad dad. What a celebration. What a celebration. What a celebration. And he would not let anybody, including his elder son, destroy the spirit of that celebration. Wouldn't take recommendations from him. It was his son. And that's why heaven rejoices when one repentant sinner comes back home to God. He treats it as a homecoming. Celebration. The angels throw a party in heaven. Celebration. My son, who was dead in trespasses and sin, is alive again. Who was lost, going wayward and astray in this world, has now found his way back home. I'm one glad. Dad. Give God a hand of praise.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.